Bye.
I don't know if they ever used that script or not, but we found that script, and I don't think it was all.
No, I enjoyed that. I really did. As I told you many a time, Janet, the stuff that you wrote and performed on Atlantica was really, and I hope that you saved it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We saved
it. Because I think that would be a great premium. I'm deadly serious, and I'm going to suggest that to whoever the powers that be.
Okay.
I'm deadly serious.
We have the CD from December 22nd where we did all those skits.
We have the brand new
record
of...
At 32B.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Now, if my engineer, my lovely engineer, Liza, would play a little interim music so we can turn over the cassette, because... believe it or not, I have a lot of listeners, not just my sons, who request copies. So we're going to play now a little bit of music, and we'll be back in a moment. Yeah. That's another side of one of my all-time favorites, Curtis Owsley, better known as King Curtis, the Black Titan of the tenor sax. And before we go to a number of remarks made at Local 6 by Omar Wally Clay, I have a listener who came in with a marvelous instrument. What do you call that instrument?
It's a euphonium.
A what?
Euphonium.
Euphonium.
Am I on?
And yes, you are.
Yeah, okay, great.
Yes.
Hi. My name is, I am known as Frank Language to our internet listeners.
Oh, I like that, Frank Language. I like that name.
I just came from a rally, actually, at a healthcare center in Brooklyn where I appeared with the Church Ladies for Choice, and my church name is Sister Fallopia Tuba.
Oh, I like that. Oh, right, that's very... That's funny, Janet. You know that? That is. I like that.
Sterile.
Now, you're going to play this instrument. Euphonium. Are you going to play it?
I could.
Why don't you?
Would you like me to?
A little background on her.
Yeah.
She tortured building management for the past year by being downstairs and playing for all the vigil people.
She was amazing.
They used to come running out, and they were pleading with her, please stop, you're annoying everyone. And she would just keep blasting away and sounding the trumpet for all the vigil people. And
that's
it was crazy.
Right.
That's wonderful.
A flugelhorn.
She was also a major poster on the Good Life board.
Yeah.
But
yes.
You vanished into your second character.
Do you want to introduce the number you're going to play?
Well, I believe it needs no introduction.
Well, then let's not have one.
Okay.
Playing our song. What is the derivation of that instrument? Is that in the tuba family?
This is a tenor tuba.
A tenor tuba?
Yeah, it's in the tenor range.
Right.
And because it has a fourth valve, it will play the pedal notes.
I see. How did you happen to take up, that instrument?
I requested a tuba when I was 10 years old in grammar school.
Right.
And I tried to play this. I could not lift the case. I couldn't carry it. I was really.
Right.
And one day I had a mechanical problem with it, and I just kind of shut down, and I said, I don't want to play this anymore. And so they gave me a baritone horn. And
right.
I played that all through college.
You mean like Mulligan played?
No, baritone horn. It's basically this.
This is a euphonium. Right. Where does that name come from? Is that German?
It's just something that... it comes from Greek, actually.
Really?
Euphonium.
Uh-huh.
Euphonious.
Euphonious.
Yeah, it's just something that some classically inspired person said, let's give it some class.
Yeah.
But it's basically a tenor tuba.
Huh.
And
really?
Yeah.
That's great. I want to thank you very much for coming by.
I want to thank you for having me.
No, the pleasure has been ours. Okay? Thank you.
Excellent.
Yeah. Mr. Okay. Maitland, are you ready to go? Let me introduce this. This is a few remarks made by a gentleman who will be my guest from 12 to 1:30, Mr. Omar Wally Clay. And these are the remarks made to the National Board and the packed house audience at Local 6, which was at 305 West 44th Street. Are we ready, Mr. Maitland? We're not ready yet. Mr. Maitland is not a mechanical genius. You are ready? Oh, what do we do? Which button do we press?
Leslie and members of the board, I'm deferring to Amawali Clay.
Okay, again, I'm sorry, I have to ask you to be very brief. We're under tremendous time pressure here.
First, let me say, I want to say I'm here representing the December 12th movement, and for brothers and sisters who are listening in the streets of our communities, understand that the battle for our liberation is not only against racism, but it is a struggle that is a class struggle. And that struggle, and I want the board to understand this, and in particular I want my brother Marion Barry to understand this, because you're in New York, so I want you to hear what's happening with black folks in New York, because there's no wrong time to do what's right. The battle for BAI isn't simply a career in journalism. We have taken a position not to come on BAI until the banned and the fired are back, because more than banned and fired, there are people who took up the question on the journalistic front that is going on in our communities. When I said goodbye to Samori on our way to Addis Ababa to the OAU meeting, I didn't know when I came back he would be gone. And many people speak for him and what he stood for. But let me say this very clearly. Samori was an internationalist. He believed that critical thinking and analysis was critical to the African community. The battle at BAI is not to take back a station that belonged to us. WBAI was a white station. Let's be clear, brothers and sisters. Samori struggles to broaden and encompass into that station progressive African thought. Racism isn't over at BAI, and neither are we free. But we respect as a movement those people who stand for political principle. To have some prostitutes and pimps of our movement on the air vilifying people who have fought as part of their life to bring correct information to our community is a travesty. People who've never been involved in our community are on the air in these diatribes talking about comprador Negroes and Negro comedians. These are people who don't even exist in our community. And for those who say that this is an issue of an attack on a black woman, let's be crystal clear. The bottom line is there are many black women in the world. Congolese Rice is one of them. And let me say that this isn't about struggling for the simple sake of being black. This is about struggling for the equality and the emancipation and liberation of the masses of our people. August 17, 2002, millions of people are coming to Washington on the issue of reparations. We want BAI back online to help us organize that struggle, just like they helped organize when we were facing the Joint Terrorist Task Force in 1984. To the banned and fired, to Democracy Now!, to all of those people who have honestly, deliberately, and with commitment fought to make this happen right now, right on, freedom or death, no justice, no peace.
That was the inspiring words of my friend and colleague, Amawali Clay, and he will be here in person. He'll be on my show from 12 to 1:30. To those of you who don't know, the gentleman who had this time slot has been preempted, and I was asked to do the show from 10:30 to 12. And I had to play some of these things so that you could understand, those of you who, I doubt if there are any, but those of you who may have not have participated in the struggle, that we had allies all over the map in every community. And I have to tell you a little story about one of my grandkids. I have to tell you a little story about one of my grandkids. My oldest son in California, David, is an avid listener of KPFK and a supporter and supporting the struggle to take back the station. And 2 weeks ago, they held a community meeting in downtown Los Angeles. And as something that they would do, they held it in a very small room so that there were more people outside on the parking lot than there were who could get in. And my grandson, Keenan, who was 11 years old, he snuck in carrying a sign, squeezed his way through the people, and he carried a sign, and it said, he held it up, it was on, attached to a pole, "Where is the money? Mark Cooper is a turd." And I'm glad to say that that was his first political experience. He's 11 years old, Keenan, and he's following in the tradition of his grandfather. And
great-grandmother.
Right, right. Another friend just joined. Randy Credico is here.
Ooh, the cutting edge.
And Randy and I participated in many vigils, many trips all over New York, trying to fight the mandatory Rockefeller minimum drug law sentencing. And what they passed is merely a tidbit, a concession, and the struggle will go on. It'll be carried on by the mothers that disappeared, those parents, brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts of those people who are away in the gulag. And I have to tell, if he's listening, I know his aides do, that that fat piece of crap, Glenn Gord, who is the superintendent of prisons, that you're still on the firing line. And we're going to go after you and your administration for the way you were mishandling the inhabitants of the gulags in New York State. And just as a moment to talk about, my wife and I are going to reiterate every single week, please, please, a simple thing. We need pen pals for the prisoners. Randy can tell you, and I can tell you, and my wife can tell you. There are people in prison for years who get no mail, no visitors. It's a sad thing, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Absolutely.
And just to be a pet, there's no other commitment to write so that when he gets, he or she gets a letter, they just realize that somebody cared enough just to write a letter. So please, you can send your name and address on a postcard to Al Lewis, P.O. Box 277, New York, New York, 10044. My wife and I will send you back the name of a prisoner. Please, please, I beg of you, I beg of you. I have a whole long list of prisoners who write to me.
You know where else they can get it? On the internet. They go to the DOCS website, go to Google, go to Corrections DOCS, New York State Department of Corrections,
yeah,
and go to inmate lookup, and you'll see 70,000
yeah,
prisoners, 95% who are black and Latino throughout the state. 70,000. You can just pick anyone at random. Punch
right
in A, B, C, and you'll see prison, you'll see age, and you'll see black, or
yes,
you'll see Hispanic.
Yeah.
Is
yeah,
what you'll
yeah
see. 70,000 worth.
Please, those of you especially who attend religious institutions, I know that there are auxiliaries, and get together just to do that. A letter-writing campaign. Please. You don't have to agitate. You don't have to proselytize. Just so that there's a human being at the end of the letter that the prisoner gets. You cannot realize how important it is. Okay.
WBAI is back. Information
right
is coming across these airwaves. 99.5
right
FM.
Yeah.
We're back.
Right. Janet, you wanted to say something.
I wanted to give credit where it's due. Piece of Crap, You Fool You was acted by David Dozer, John McDonough, and making, I think, your debut as an actress on WBAI. Karen Lewis, an actress in previous incarnations, I'm sure.
Many years.
Well, that was her. Piece of Crap. Oh, I don't mean that.
Piece of Crap.
I don't mean
Gord.
And I also want to ask Randy Credico if he's developed any new voices in the last year.
Richard Brown.
That's a voice he just did the telephone.
Very.
That's Lewis the cab driver. I thought I was going to the airport today, but I decided to wait till tonight to go to be part of this historic show. I'm working on a few new voices. I'm working on George W. and Ashcroft and all these other scary people. That'll be coming real soon. But first I want to say, I'm here to say that what a great moment this is to be here, to see. It's really unbelievable.
No, it's true.
I get choked up.
I felt it when I came in.
You know, to just walk in, it's like, you know, when you see those pictures of the Sandinistas going through Somoza's, you know, prisons, you know, when it was all over in 79. Yeah. That's the feeling you get.
Well, you were there then.
I was there with Glenn Gord. He was getting his training coming back.
It wasn't that
to the
different.
School of the Americas. But I just want to, I want to say, because I worked side by side with the Kunstler Fund and the Pacifica Campaign. What a brilliant group. Energetic and the, you know, the friends of WBAI, concerned friends. What a tremendous effort this was, because I worked next to them every day for a year, and they went straight on. They organized. They were up around the clock under, you know, Dan Coughlin, brilliant, Dennis Moynihan, Ursula Gutenberg,
I want to mention, I was also down there on Wednesdays, and there's a few names that haven't been mentioned.
I
want to
mention those.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to mention your name. You were there.
Yeah.
Don, who was great, who did the mailing.
He licked every envelope.
5 million stamps. It was, what a machine. It was like it was really like a maquiladora plant, but they were enthusiastic about it because they were long hours, and no one ever complained from the National Labor Committee about the way these guys worked. They were just, and who else?
Ray Rodriguez and
Bo Keem, of course. I want to think Bo Keem, who kept, you know, had a great sense of humor. And that's one of the things I'm going to miss.
Yeah.
You know, if they're going to be gone, I was hoping maybe another 6 months before we got the station
no,
back so I could work. Bernard was there.
Deborah,
from New Jersey. You were there many times.
Anthony,
I know how many donuts I gave you.
Who was
you
the
know?
Older woman that helped with the mailing?
Harriet. Harriet, there was a lot of volunteers. Valerie Vinette.
Valerie
was there
every day.
Valerie was there. She's not older, but Valerie was there every day. And she was really very instrumental in this great movement. It was something to behold watching this movement. And I'm glad they're back. It's great for everybody. It's great for Dennis Moynihan.
Randy.
Yes.
And the battle.
You were there, and I'm leaving a few names out. Yes.
It was the spirit of Brother Kunstler's establishment.
Yeah, Kunstler was part of it too.
Kunstler's spirit.
Well, they had the room they worked out of was the room that was burned down a couple hundred years ago. It was a link on the Underground Railroad, and so that spirit really engender this wonderful, great, powerful movement. And I'm so happy for that. You're back. It's great for the prisoners of the state of New York. It's bad news for the district attorneys. It's bad news for Bloomberg, and bad news for a lot of these sellouts. And it's good news for the people of Tulia, your show. You know, there's things that are happening there in Texas now, and it goes back to your show, Amy Goodman, and Bernard White by showcasing Tulia as a national model of what's wrong with the war on drugs.
And Randy, let's not forget our friends at KPFT who got the news out from Tulia and
absolutely.
With Otis and Scooter.
Yes, that's right.
Because they need our help now.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be down there in Houston next week. So, who am I leaving out?
No, look up.
Look. I see the security camera up there. WBAI is back.
Artwork.
Now been.
But so I'm so thrilled. I really am. And, you know, I got these great guys out there who work on the Rockefeller drug laws. Guys, Richard Hirsch and my friend
is Gary there?
Gary Davidson. These guys who work, he's not there right now, but these guys who work, you know,
I mean, for nothing. They show up. The volunteers that come out of this station, the volunteers that come out of the station, there has been a lag in the movement. If we had the station for the last year, the way we had it before, you would see major changes right now with Rockville drug laws. And
I agree.
We were that close. We were that close. I also am happy that Robert Knight's back, who did brilliant reporting out of Tuya, and he lost his job out of that. People of Tuya will never forget Robert Knight and his great, great, great stuff. And I'm glad David Rothenberg's back. You know, and you know, people talk about prisons and really are concerned about, in this state, 70,000, 2 million nationally, people the most downtrodden, the most invisible, people on the planet, or at least in this country, that just don't. I got a call yesterday from a woman in Syracuse about our organization needing some help. Her mother's been in prisons. She's 73 years of age. 15 years she's been in prison because of the Rockefeller drug laws. 73 years of age, she's got another 5 years to do. Okay, for a first-time nonviolent offense, the supplier got off. She, with a small amount, has been in for 15 years. Her name is Witherspoon. Last name is Witherspoon or Weatherspoon. And I just got this case yesterday. It's just unbelievable. 73 years has done 15 years. She's older than Rufus Boyd.
Yeah.
Who's now out. He just did his 25 years.
25 years.
25 years. You would think he was Hannibal Lecter, right?
You remember I went to visit him?
Yeah, that's right.
I was his first visitor in 22 years up at Greenhaven.
My God, that's right. That's right. He was so thrilled to see, he couldn't believe it.
He didn't even know who I am. That's right. I went up to see Rufus Boyd, who was either the first, we don't know.
First or second.
Person convicted under the Rockefeller, you know, nonviolent.
During the Ford Carter debates.
He did 25 years.
Yeah.
I went up to see him in Greenhaven and met him, and he'd never had a visitor. I mean, I it's like seeing Devil's Island or something. I mean,
and of course, that's the bad side. We have the good side of the name Maldonado here. Okay?
Yeah.
Miguel Maldonado. The bad side is Sergeant Maldonado. We don't know his name. We just go by Sergeant Maldonado.
Yeah, who jumped in my face.
Yes, who was right in Grandpa's face because he shook hands with the late. With the late Mr. Garcia, Jose Garcia, may he rest in peace, who died after doing 5 years of the Rockefeller drug laws at age 70 in the same unit for the physically disabled as Terrence Stevens. Here's a guy who died. No one even knew he was dead for 12 hours. He was just lying there. And Al went to shake his hands a few months before he passed, and Sergeant Maldonado came screaming in Al Lewis's face. And Sergeant Maldonado, of course, is a real bad human being. And he's the only person that I can say for sure belongs at Greenhaven. Okay? And I'm glad that he's there and not on the streets.
Yeah.
Sergeant Maldonado. This is bad news for him, too, right?
Yeah. Oh, he heard from me on the radio.
That's right.
And all the prisoners were dying laughing at what I said about him. That ignoramus.
He's all black.
Jumped in my face, you know, as a, you know, he doesn't realize that my taxes pay his salary, that ignoramus, you know.
Yeah.
You can only talk to the person you came to see.
Do not send money to prisoners at Greenhaven, cash, whatever you do.
It's stolen.
It's stolen.
Yes.
It does not get to them. Almost any prison, these guys steal the money. But
they steal.
Definitely at Greenhaven, the guards under the courageous leadership of Sergeant Maldonado, you know, able to enhance his salary for your contributions to prisoners. So
it's called the perk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Write letters. Do not send money, because it'll go right to the Sergeant Maldonado after the beating drink fund. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, Maldonado. It's all, you're a public figure now, so you want to sue me, go right ahead. I'd love to see you in the court of law.
Yeah, I would, too. Yeah, that.
I'm sorry. I'm glad there's nobody by the name of Credico out there. Sorry, Miguel, that his last name's Maldonado.
Yeah. Piece of crap.
Piece of crap.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Sergeant Maldonado. I know where you are. You're up there in Stormville. I'm not going to forget you.
You fool.
Yeah. Anyway.
Glenn Gord. Yeah.
American people need to know about Glenn Gord. President said we're going to smoke them out. We're going to smoke out Glenn Gordon. We're going to smoke out Kissinger. We already smoked out the evildoers. They're out of BAI. We smoked them out.
Light up.
American people, we smoked out the evildoers.
Gee, I saw some yesterday.
There's a very funny guy, man, right over there, John McDonough.
John McDonough.
Very funny guy.
I studied
guy.
Under
that
you, Randy.
Caroline's?
Yeah.
You missed his routine there. He was...
At Caroline's.
You missed his routine. You were there. We had to wait three hours to get our room.
You can't stop him now. Now he's going to have a...
No, he's great.
He's going to have a series.
Very, very, very.
I'm not kidding, Randy. Following you at the peer parties and everything and just watching you, I just wish I could do the impersonations that you do.
Well,
that's great.
Really?
I would like to now play as a teaser.
On the West Side yesterday impersonating someone. Yeah.
I'd like to play as a teaser. This is the show I did on WBIX for Errol Maitland on the 15th, 4 days after. And this is part of the 40-odd minutes that I will offer as my premium. There are no premiums.
It's a
starts
gift
Monday.
From
our
me.
Gift, actually our gift from my wife, Karen, and I. And this is a teaser of the remarks that I made about the whole background to 9/11. Whenever you're ready, Liza.
It's obvious that everybody in the United States and any other country that has any form of technology, even though it may not be television, it may be radio, the most primitive style of radio, is talking, discussing about what happened this past Tuesday in New York City when two hijacked airplanes with determination and precision crashed into the World Trade Center in downtown Manhattan, which eventually led to the collapse of both of them with enormous casualties. And what has happened since then, of course, is the attempt to move 500 tons of cement port, I hope, red one, who knew it like. One hijacked airplane also crashed into a section of the Pentagon. And as the latest figures show, including those on the airplane, maybe 200 people died. In the World Trade Center, we don't know whether it was 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, but it was dreadful. And then a plane that was that crashed in an open container. We don't know where it's the ship, planning, or it's the level that we do.
No, there's something wrong with that. Just shows you. They spent a lot of money for cameras and for guards and for changing the locks, but they did nothing about the equipment that we have to work with, those bastards. And when they traveled first class and stayed in five-star hotels while the people who work at the station are working with broken-down, outdated equipment and whatever it costs for ADT and these cameras and the 60,000 and the guards and everything should have been put into, because this doesn't help the community, the cameras that are on now. An improvement in the equipment that we have to work with is for the community, to reach the community with precision, with clarity. That wasn't put into that. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. They gave themselves raises. For what? I'm a little angry now. What did they do that they earned a raise? What did they do? They destroyed a community station. and I have to say this. Those people who remained here is the word that I have used for the past 3 years. They became good Germans. They went along in order to get along. At a number of public meetings, I read a section from a book by Milton Mayer called The Germans. They thought they were free. And the process by which the oppression and the indoctrination gets people to twist and turn. And those people who got those raises and didn't really care what happened to the value and the objectives that this station and this network was founded on. I hope you are embarrassed, because I have no pity for you. I really don't. You had a choice. You had a choice. Some of you I have spoken to face to face. I have no great influence at the station. I am like Janet or Anthony or Randy or David. I'm an unpaid volunteer. I don't work here. I don't have a title. I do a show on Saturday from 12 to 1:30. And I've said to some, I will devote all my energy and passion to lobby to get you out of here. You don't deserve to be at a community station, a listener-supported station. I've said that to you, and the reason I say it to you, to your face, is because this is how Al Lewis operates. I am not going to go and lobby, quote-unquote, the powers that be, so that you can then say you went behind my back. Why didn't you give me a chance to explain, to apologize, to give you my reasoning? I told you to your face. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to continue to do it. I'm not going to stop. Because you had 13 months to make a decision. And you decided to go with the tide. That was your decision. Well, I have a decision to make. I'm not influencing anyone else. But the powers that be, I will lobby to get you out of here. Because you do not represent the community. You are reprehensible to the community. I've gone through this in labor struggles. My friend Hampton will tell you about the struggles in NMU. When Joe Curran turned around and became an enemy, those of us who put him in power turned against him because he turned around. I remember at Local 65, I'm a veteran of these struggles, and I've seen people become turncoats and become finks and become scabs.
Snitches.
I'm sure, Hampton, you have seen that.
They were snitches from the day they were born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a place for them. Yeah. Yeah. They can go to work for the Heritage Foundation.
Hmm. The Rockefeller Institute.
Right. There's no place for them here at a community radio station that speaks for and represents the interests
of the people
of the community. I mean, just as a small example, my grandson who protested at KPFK, when I was filming in Hollywood, it's not a Medal of Honor, I contributed $65,000 to have the station move from one place to another. Today, this leadership at KPFK has eliminated, you have to understand, Los Angeles County is more than 50% Hispanic. They eliminated all the Hispanic programming. They eliminated these white middle class crapolas. They eliminated over 80% of the black volunteer producers.
And they're still working away.
Yes, but we will win there. Oh. We will get them out like we got them out here, like Playtell Benjamin said so wonderfully. They will be relegated to the dustbin of history. Because that's where they belong.
Al, the Pacifica Revolution ran through Houston last night. 500 people at a LAB meeting. They threw out the old guard, and they, the progressives got in. It's heading now. The train is heading towards Los Angeles.
That's right.
And we're going to be coming at them like the Northern Alliance, us from the East Coast, and then we got KPFA in the north of Los Angeles coming down. Dennis Bernstein.
You got the pencil.
No.
And there are snakes in Washington.
But you got the pincer movement here. You got.
But I
wow.
No, I have to say.
The Pacifica campaign, believe me, that train is going to continue rolling.
In view of what is happening nationally.
Yeah.
The oppression.
Right.
Not just right wing. I've always said, I'm a keen student of history. Read what happened in Germany in 1931-32, you will see similarities.
Yes.
Except they had German names. And in view of this oppression, where a semblance of dissent, you're called a terrorist.
Yeah, I agree.
And then internationally, we won the battle here. That is significant, John.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Al, it's still unbelievable that within 1 year, and I remember Juan Gonzalez made the statement on Democracy Now. He says, we will not rest till we get rid of every hijacking board member. And, you know, it sounded like fanciful talk, and you go down, you see Randy down at Kunstler's office, and there were fairly dark days down there on Gay Street, because you were saying, are we ever going to win this? But the persistence of the listeners was just, it was unbelievable.
I have a story about Dan Coughlin, who's actually now intern executive director, and in the middle of the summer, when it did look pretty bleak, I went to a Pacifica campaign meeting, and there was literally three of us, maybe, sitting in a room, and Dan Coughlin walks in, all excited and enthusiastic, and was like, yeah, great, you're right, we're here for a meeting. And my, you know, I had been sitting there saying, oh my God, only three people are here. Oh my God, where's the community? And Dan, who's now running Pacifica, was like so enthusiastic and so glad just to see the three of us there. And that's the type of grassroots movement that is now in charge in Pacifica. And I just, you know, I just admire Dan Coughlin for what he did. I mean, he was always upbeat, always so excited to see you. Every time I called, be like, God, great to see you. Come on down. And he's just a real terrific guy. And I was so happy when they voted him in on Sunday. I couldn't believe it because he's a tremendous person.
Can I add something? Because it was like that office was like the old BAI, the people that would come in there, sleep on the floor or whatever. And Dan Coughlin really always had an upbeat attitude. Always. It was just great.
But more than anything else, you know, to the public and to everyone, this event was necessary to bring the station to that position where it can qualify to be what it's supposed to be. Like a snake shedding its skin. Certain surface areas, even on yourself, have to be gotten rid of for the healthy to come back.
Absolutely.
And we are not weaker. You're stronger. You know, everyone out there that supported this station is that much more a part of the family. That's why the doors are open right now.
Well, once again, I want to really congratulate. What a great model of organizing that the Pacifica campaign and these other groups.
And thank you, Bo Keem, for teaching
me. Bo Keem, absolutely. It was these guys, a great, great, great model, and someone should do a documentary on that on this successful movement.
I think while Al is greeting the masses outside,
yeah,
with about 30 or 40 people, we might
take
go
over
to a CD. Maybe you could set this up.
We'll take you back to the Christmas Coup players. We were gathering our little dramatic forces for a little theater company to satirize what was going on here. And there was one person. Anybody could play. Randy, Credico, we didn't need you for once. Listen to this.
Oh, dear. Oh, heavens to Betsy, we seem to be in some trouble here at the station. Everyone here at the station, and we need some help right away. Our next show, Yakety Yak Don't Talk, back with Hugh Hamilton.
We're going to try that one more time.
You better have a good lawyer.
It's purely coincidental. If you recognize the character, either dead or alive, this is just a caricature of some of the stuff that's going on. We'll try it one more time.
All right.
No. Liza's.
Yes, sir. Yes, I'd like to know you supported the coup in Haiti. I will not allow my listeners to be abused like that.
Your name.
My name. I hope you have a good lawyer.
Your name.
Well,
I can't.
Elijah, what do you think?
Where are you from?
Okay.
Where are you from?
One more.
Where are you from?
This is from the Union Hall, where over 1,200 people were at, and we did a comedy routine for about 45 minutes. And
completely improvised.
Has that been part of this?
Yeah, no, I know.
I was out of town.
There was no script for this. Everybody, and this was listeners.
Because you would have been
players
up at the table at this particular point.
Richard
right
Corey
here
was there, right?
Richard Corey is the voice you're going to swear sounds very familiar.
Yeah, Richard.
Son of his father.
He's taping it right now.
Oh, heavens to Betsy, we seem to be in some trouble here at the station. Everyone here at the station, and we need some help right away. Our next show, Yakety Yak Don't Talk, back with Hugh Hamilton. We're in trouble because Hugh Hamilton is on the subway. We need people to come in to him now and pretend to be Hugh Hamilton. Now, the new listeners depend on hearing Hugh Hamilton, and they're easily fooled. So I'm sure that if you could just pretend to be you, everything will go smoothly, and we'll get you, Here we go. It's time now for Yakety Yak Don't Talk Back with Hugh Hamilton.
Like to try for the part of Hugh Hamilton. I've been practicing saying my words with as much reverb as possible under the circumstances of not knowing what side of the fence I am ever on.
That is not the issue. I am Hugh Hamilton, and this is Don't Talk Back Live. Well, we have the free and fair exchange of information and ideas, provided there are no ideas expressed in that information, and that the ideas expressed are not spoken of, as long as the creek... Here. The creek has risen. It is a deluge.
I don't necessarily agree, but then again,
we cannot talk about that.
Sure, I
that is not the issue.
What is the issue?
The issue is, I am you, you are me, and we are all together.
Who are you?
Like pink from a gun. See how they try, I'm trying. Now, we are not at liberty to talk about the things we cannot say, and we cannot say the things that we cannot talk about. I know nothing about the things I cannot talk about, and I cannot talk about the things
excuse
of which I know nothing.
Excuse me, but we cannot talk about that.
We cannot talk about that unless we consider that maybe we do want to talk about that. Let me be the devil's advocate. Can we consider talking about that before we decide not to talk about that?
The issue has been laid down by the former station manager replacement.
Dutrice C. Lead?
Daughtry.
That would be the station
assistant manager, Robert, sometimes known as Bob Daughtry.
I thought it was the station public affairs director, Mr. Jabel's file.
Oh, Mr. Jabel.
That is not the issue. We must stick to the issue. Not to talk back live on the fair and free exchange of information and ideas.
37 minutes.
Provided those ideas do not interfere with the gag order of the don't talk about that.
Because this is Jerk Off Saturday, we'll be entertaining calls from our listeners.
Next caller, please.
Hello? Am I on the air?
Yes, you are on the air.
Let me turn down my radio.
Please, turn down your radio.
You are not on the air. I am you on the air.
Q, I don't know if you remember me, but I called about 6.5 years ago. Do you remember me?
Who are you?
I am you.
Your name.
My name? I'm kind of scared now with these new laws. I don't want to give my name or where I live. Is that the issue?
That would be very difficult for us to entertain, Mr. Caller, if you won't give us your name.
Can I give you a phony name?
Yes, we would love a phony name, but we need a name. Sean Hannity, people give names.
My name, for example, is Hubert Horatio Hamilton.
And the issue is?
What is your name?
And what is your issue?
I can pick two or three names. Can you help me with it?
Well, what would you like to talk about?
I want to change the issue.
I'm sorry, but we cannot talk about that.
We must keep to the issue.
It's really not done to change the
issue. I've been on hold for 3 friggin' hours. I forgot what the issue was.
Please, caller, be civilized. This is the time spot of the beloved Utrecy lead, and we are always on Yakety Yak, civilized.
We are only trustees of this time.
The issue, please.
The issue.
Next caller.
Please.
Issue.
Gesundheit.
God bless you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hallelujah.
Who are you?
Praise be.
I am you.
I want to talk about the adolescent boy gods who have taken over the economic and military systems of our economies, of our imperial country, what are we gonna do about it?
Well, first you must state the issue.
And your name.
And your name. Your name.
And where are you calling from?
I'm thinking about Billy Pilgrim right now. Hallelujah. I'm thinking about the bombs going back up into the B-1 bombers. And I'm thinking about the B-1 bombers going in reverse back to the aircraft carriers. And I'm thinking of the aircraft carriers going in reverse back to the United States. And then I see people dismantling those bombs and taking those metals carefully back to the mines where they were originally mined and putting them back to the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be. Hallelujah.
Well, that is a subject that requires much more research than we can do with a 4-day-a-week program.
And since I've only been on the station for a year, I really don't feel adequate in discussing these matters.
I would not second-guess the president, as I would not second-guess former station director manager Ms. Lead.
We must round up all Muslims, no matter what Utrecy has said to me in the past.
If you don't want them rounded up, what is your alternative?
We are in support sometimes of terrorism.
Economically, this just isn't done.
And torture. Yes, torture! We talk about it here.
I am an immigrant, too, and if I have to support Mr. Bush in the roundups, in the detentions, I ask you callers, do you have an alternative that works?
Next caller, please.
Now, you must use the telephone if you're going to call. The creek has risen, and good afternoon.
Good. Yeah. Did you write that, John?
No, that was
all ad lib. Wow, it was great.
Oh no, we practiced at the KGB bar. Down in the Lower East Side.
Where
Rocky was, Sullivan?
Wasn't Monroe on that tape?
He is.
No, Monroe was on with Armand Flamille.
Oh yeah,
which
that's
we'll probably
right.
play later.
You were on with Armand Flamille.
And he's also on the piece called Radio School.
No, we're gonna do the Armand Flamille in a little while.
Radio School with Professor Bob Fay.
That was great.
Monroe
was really
came
good.
On the stage with a telephone.
Right.
That's
no,
what
but the best.
Bob Fay asked me.
No, the best one was the Armand Flamille.
Armand Flamille.
Really?
Yes.
With Cannibal.
Yeah. No, that was funny.
You have
you
that?
And Armand.
We have
the Armand Flamille.
You want to do Armand Flamille? Good. Yeah. Find out which one. It says it on the. It says one of the tracks. Armand Flamille.
Richard Corey do this for you?
Do you see where it says? Here, Eliza. Let me have the CD.
Is it on here? I want to hear Armand.
And it is a pretty funny bit. It's positively me in my mind. It's number 10.
Yeah, let's play this.
Yeah, this is Monroe. Monroe's debut as an actor at the Union Hall on 6th Avenue. No longer a phone caller into BAI. He is now an actor at BAI.
Definitely.
And the Christmas Coup Players, so maestro.
Why is the phone all
right, we're going to go to number 10, and we hope to use this CD maybe some stage as a premium. But this was Cannibal. You might know him from the Good Life Bulletin Board.
Rudy Kaiser.
Yeah, played Armand Flamille, and he's giving sexual advice to people at the Union Hall.
And he's holding John McDonough's daughter's...
Huh? He's playing Armand... Okay. No, Monroe plays a caller into Armand Flamille.
Who's playing Armand Flamille?
A guy named Cannibal.
Cannibal.
Might be here
Rudy Kaiser. And he's holding John McDonough's daughter, Elizabeth, baby doll.
As he's banging the baby and choking it on the table. So there are a lot of visuals. I was also smoking Ibogaine that night. You won't be able
That's strictly confidential. You know?
Yes, and I...
That's strictly confidential.
Yeah, that was a bit, though. And I
hear,
said, I love this.
On time with you.
I love the smell of Ibogaine in the morning as I was going down on a crack pipe. And you should have seen the look on Pete Caracca's face when I handed in the receipt to get the money back.
Pacifica campaign.
Yeah. Item number 22, crack pipe, $10.
Me, I'm here 4 days a week as your messenger of better mental health. If you're listening now, boy, do you have problems. Why do I say the positive me, my mind? Because it is mine. I'm positive it's my airtime. Now remember, with a little repetitive questioning, the universe and I can help bring clarity to your confused lives. Why, just the other day, I ran into a neighbor of mine at the market. She was squeezing the eggplant and lamenting that WBAI no longer gave her the truth. I told her, you have to ask yourself, is this a childhood issue? If station management are treating you like children, maybe you were looking for a father figure. Now, this is the craziest radio station in America. That's our theme today. Let's take the first caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello? Hello? Me? I'm on the air?
Yes, you are.
Armand.
Okay, now try and catch your breath. Think of the positive oneness of the universe and tell me your name.
I'm Lolita. Oh, Armand, I'm so happy to see you. I'm so excited. Oh, Armand.
I'm sure it's wonderful for you to be on my show.
Oh, yes. I want to meet you, Armand. Oh, I love you.
Well, this is wonderful. Have you heard of the Flamille Center?
The
Flamille Center. That's where kind people go like you for 5-minute sessions with me.
But I can't. I'm calling because I tried to kill myself. I'm afraid. I don't want to kill myself. And then I have three other people inside of me saying I should kill myself, but I don't want to kill myself. Should I kill myself? Oh, maybe I should kill myself. Oh, no, I'm not so sure.
No,
oh, he's coming.
Down.
Oh, my
calm
God.
Down, okay?
The other one coming to say I should kill
okay.
myself. Oh,
okay.
No.
Okay.
Oh,
Okay. We all don't want you to kill yourself. But first, I have a question. How are your fiscal resources?
My who?
Do you have any money?